Other attempts have focused on particular biblical scriptures. One of the prophets, Habakkuk, makes the statement, "The righteous person shall live by his faith." So according to this approach, the dominant element would be a trust in God, with apparently everything else evolving from this. Now, common to those attempts was a wish not to go beyond the Bible and the text of the Bible itself by enunciating a more comprehensive and detailed creed. Nevertheless, Judaism has been subjected to a wide variety of post-biblical attempts at isolating what was considered to represent the most basic components of the faith. For instance, one of the earliest rabbinic books, it is known as the Mishnah, we will discuss it in a later lecture, lists or claims that all Israelites have a share in the world to come, except the following three exceptions. And they are those who claim that there is no resurrection of the dead, and that the Torah was not given from heaven, that is to say, it does not have a divine origin, and Epicureans. The rabbis use the name of the known Greek philosopher as a symbol of heretic beliefs. And so some people would claim, maybe this is the essence of Judaism, not to be an idolater, to believe that the Torah was divinely given, and not to have any heretic beliefs. Or another example, in describing martyrdom, the rabbis claim that one must never give up one's life, except in three very dire circumstances, and that is when you are required either to participate in idolatry or in forbidden sexual relations or the shedding of blood, murder. And so some people would say, maybe this is the essence, these three components. I alluded to Hillel, who tried to summarize Judaism with one line, and his line is clearly beautiful. He said to that potential convert, on one foot then, what is Judaism? What is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow man. It's a beautiful thought, but does it really represent all of Judaism? Now, these attempts were never presented as a creedal affirmation or a catechism. In other words, these were attempts to point to the principles, to the major components. And such formulations are significantly missing from rabbinic literature of the first centuries of the Common Era. It's only in the Middle Ages that the search for the roots or the essence of Judaism becomes more commonplace. The search for these principles of the Jewish religion was probably motivated, or at least partially encouraged, by a number of external factors. The contemplative activity of Islamic theologians, known as Kalam, their speculations regarding the nature of religious faith, spread to Jewish thinkers as well. Jewish authors looked for the roots, the word is ikarim in Hebrew, of their religion, and they employed the exact same word that was used by their Arabic-speaking counterparts looking for these roots. Often confrontation and polemics with the Christian and Muslim world enhanced the perception of a need to articulate the differences between Judaism and the two other monotheistic faiths. The most famous attempt at formulating a list of Judaism's principles was made by the renowned Jewish philosopher of the 12th century, Maimonides, who's going to be the star of this series of lectures. His name will come up a lot, and I will discuss him at length later on. His list appears as a commentary to one of the statements in the Mishnah that talks about those who have a place in the world to come. And he tries to elaborate who, in fact, has a place in the world to come. And he says, these are people who believe in the following 13 things. And these 13 things are as follows. The existence of God, God's unity, God has no corporeal aspect, God is eternal, God alone and no intermediaries should be worshipped, belief in prophecy, a belief that Moses was the greatest of all prophets, that another belief that all the Torah in our possession is divine and was given through Moses, that the Torah will not be changed or superseded, that God knows the actions of man, he's not removed from this world, that God rewards those who keep the Torah, punishes those who transgress it, a belief that the Messiah will come, and a belief in the resurrection of the dead. Now, some of these principles were clearly aimed at refuting what Maimonides believed to be major challenges posed by Islam or by Christianity. For instance, the principle that Moses was the greatest of all prophets clearly seems to reject the role that was ascribed either to Muhammad or to Jesus in Islam and Christianity. And Maimonides knew that when he stresses this, you would hear, "What not?" Or the principle that the Torah would not be superseded, would not be changed, was clearly a response to the claim that it had been abrogated by subsequent teachings of the two younger religions. Maimonides' formulation appeared at first as a commentary to the Mishnah, but by the 16th century it was already published, with each of his principles preceded by an affirmation. "I believe with absolute faith that," and then each of the 13 principles follows. This type of formulation is the first actual presentation of a catechism in Judaism, and was clearly influenced by similar phenomena in the Christian world. And the list of Maimonides' principles ultimately found its way into the Jewish prayer book and was even the basis for a popular poem known as the Yigdal Hymn. This is a song sung in synagogues to this very day.